Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, Nupur Sharma and 31 others are named in an FIR following the row on remarks made against the Prophet. Police say that they have incited others on divisive lines. Is it fair, that's what we're asking, to equate all these individuals and their comments, or is this some sort of an all-faith balancing exercise? On the show tonight, Colin Gonzalez, a senior advocate in the Supreme Court, Ashutosh, a senior journalist and political analyst, Shadan Farasat, an advocate with the Supreme Court, joins us. Smita Prakash, the editor of ANI, Deshratha Nigam, will join us in a few moments. In fact, he's with us. Dr. Monica Verma, who's a political analyst and international relations expert, with us as well. Thank you all very much for being with us. Colin Gonzalez, is this an effort to somehow balance the action which has been taken against Nupur Sharma? Now there is action that's been taken against others as well. So is this sort of an all-faith online cleanup that's happening?
Yes, I saw it a little while ago on a program where persons who had engaged in hate speech were lumped together in the FIR with people protesting against the hate speech, like Sabah Naqvi and others. Now, this is totally ridiculous. Either a person is guilty of a crime, in which case the name will figure in the FIR, and there's no question of balancing. Criminal law is not some acrobatics where you take one of this community and one of that community. So it's typical Delhi misadventure where you're not able to straight away prosecute a person for engaging in a terrible hate crime. And you try and assuage the feelings of some other people or
broad
supporters
brush
of this hate crime.
Huge, big, fat brush. Put them all under, brush them under the same sort of...
Yeah.
It's an age of stereotypes and typecasting, isn't it?
Yes, it happened in the Delhi riots as well, where the persons who instigated the riots and should have an FIR against them were put together with social activists who were fighting against the hate crimes,
right,
who were protesting against the riots.
Right.
And they put them all in. So it's typical Delhi.
Somehow the victim
becomes
the accused in so many crimes in this country. All sorts of different crimes. But Monica, let me come to you in a debate. And let me ask you your views on this. Do you believe that it's correct to use such a broad brush against so many people with different views? Some of them, and I'm not saying that, you know, this is Hindu versus Muslim in my question to you. I'm just saying people have different views. Are all of them really something that warrants an FIR? Shouldn't we be more tolerant of the views of those on either side of this religious political debate?
Well, as a freedom of speech absolutist, I completely condemn, you know, broad brushing everyone and filing a single FIR. The reason being is that, you know, we live in a democratic country. There are certain liberal values that we have to live up to. And looking at the kind of environment all around the world, you know, we see all kinds of actors are coming in power. There is a reinstatement of Taliban in Afghanistan. We see China and all the liberal things that are happening, there are very few responsibility to take up the cause of democracy and liberalism. So I think India has to, with its ancient past of coexistence and everything, there's a lot of moral, you know, responsibility on us to talk about tolerance. So
right.
You know, rightly said that we should be talking about tolerance. Everyone, no matter from which religion that person is, are entitled to their views. That being said, one thing which is very important, and you know, we tend to miss it here, is this, that who started it in the first place?
Aurangzeb started it.
There are multiple...
Aurangzeb started it all those centuries back. I mean, it's all linked to Gyanvapi, isn't it? That result. So, you know, I mean, we can keep digging through in the past. And isn't it at one level, Monica, and I mean this respectfully, isn't this childish at one level to say who started it? Because it's, if somebody started it and they were wrong, it doesn't mean that others who followed are somehow right.
No, I absolutely disagree. You know, it's not childish because a court of law, you know, an honorable judicial system we have in our country, and the entire videography exercise at Gyanvapi took place because of that. And just to, you know, all the memes that were being, all the jokes that were being shared, they were kind of also making a joke on the
okay.
due process.
I'll discuss that. And that's so an important point. Monica, I'll come back to you in a moment because that's going to be the crux of our debate. But let me go across to Deshratha Nigam. He's not with us at this stage. Smita, let me ask you this. You know, in a debate about the historical background of a structure, is it a shivling? Is it not a shivling? Why is it wrong to ask whether it's a fountain or not, as some members of the Muslim community have argued? What is so deeply offensive about this in terms of a debate which is taking place? If they say it's a fountain, then will they now use some different word? Because the word fountain is offensive.
Yeah, because now everything is offensive, right? Somebody or the other is going to get offended in this country for something or the other. You know, with regard to religion, now you face FIRs. Because if discussing the Prophet is also going to be offensive, okay, the manner in speaking it may have been offensive. But that's just it. So now we are going down this slippery and very difficult path, Vishnu, because mobs calling for cutting off people's heads for saying a few things,
yes,
for them, nothing will happen. But for saying it, FIRs are going to be filed. And FIRs have been filed.
Yes.
For tweeting something, for putting something on WhatsApp group, people are going to get offended. So there are going to be FIRs against them. Now, the DMK spokesperson, I think, has said that called for a genocide of all Brahmins. Now, what happens? FIR against him. Yeah. Why? Because genocide. So, uske against kar do. Now, these ghastly, vulgar statements are coming in from all over the place. What are you going to do? Go from city to city, town to town, and file FIRs. I mean, this, you know... Yeah. The canvas is getting more and more squeezed.
Just a small point over here.
As far as debating
FIRs
is concerned, satire, comments.
There's so many more. I was going through before this program, doing my research on this. There is vulgar, horrific hate well beyond those 31 FIRs. So what? The police will now put an FIR on thousands of hate messages. It doesn't end. So why these people?
Already it's happening, no, Vishnu? Already it's happened because now political parties are wary. They don't want to go on debates because what happens when you go on debates? Things go out of hand and people say things. And now what is going to happen? As soon as somebody says something which could offend another person and it could say that, oh, a riot was sparked because of this comment which was passed on a television channel. So FIR against the anchor, FIR against the participants, FIR against the television channel, FIR against the website which quoted the television channel or which quoted the debate. So what are you going to do? Because this 153 and 505, these FIRs of these sections, they are so weird, you know. So they have such strange wording.
Smita, I'll come back to you in a second. Your video is frozen. I'll come back to you in a second. I'll come back to you. Shadan Farasat, the word blasphemy is used as if it's going out of fashion. Anything you say is potentially blasphemous. I may be a Hindu saying something against a Muslim, that is blasphemous, or vice versa. Online debate it's descended to a level where it's childish now. Because if you say blasphemy, the implications are huge. It's like blasphemy in the present context is what the word sedition was used in the recent past in other debates. Blasphemy, the word, has replaced sedition.
See, you are right, Vishnu. I agree. Rena, as a constitutional position, of course, Section 295A is a small exception carved out, which is that if you are effectively saying something which is of such a serious nature against the gods of a particular religion in a multicultural society that we live in, and it doesn't matter who is the speaker, which religion, then you can be prosecuted. Of course, it's meant for situations which are, or speech which is of an extreme variety. It can't be of a speech which is critical.
Right.
You can genuinely critique any religion, any god, any practice. There's no problem. So I think that distinction must be made. Unfortunately, what has happened is that in the last many years, we have developed a culture of hate.
Right.
The government in India has done nothing about it. It has either indirectly or directly supported it. They got called out on this particular instance, for whatever reasons, maybe that video went viral, by a whole host of governments from across the world. And they didn't know what to respond. What the government of India has been doing is they have been playing Gandhi abroad and Godse in India. Effectively, that's what has been happening. They're two faces. Now, those two faces were called out by the governments all over the world. Now, therefore, they didn't know what to do. And It took them 10 days to register a FIR in such an extreme case against Rupuri. It should have been done immediately under 295A. That's a clear case of 295A violation, right? Now, there can be a whole range of speech which are critical, which are of a religion. I'm not on which religion. You can critique Islam, you can critique Hinduism, you can critique Christianity. All religions must be critiqued. That's a fundamental principle and must be critiqued vociferously. But the point is, it can't be abusive. That's when 295A comes in, right? Now, they took 10, 12 days and now when they're registering FIR, they're trying to do fake balancing like Mr. Gonzalez said, like the Delhi riots case. Delhi police, for me, has ceased to be a professional police force. They act like completely at the behest of politicians.
Be careful, that could be also construed as a blasphemous statement.
Well, I mean, against the Delhi police, I don't care about blasphemy against Delhi police. I mean, we commit that in law as lawyers.
Okay, let me go across, Sadan, to Deshrata Nigam. Would you like to comment on what he just mentioned, that this government has been Gandhi abroad and Godse in India? Outside, you're showing that you're a pacifist, you're putting an end to the hate, but inside India, when it started, you never did anything about it.
Vishnu, let me quote some United Nations statistics. 95% of the declared terrorists are from Islam, and 95% of terrorist organizations are also from Islam.
So do we therefore typecast everybody among Muslims who are billions around the world?
Let me finish, Vishnu. So it is not the BJP which is internalized, which is, you know, creating the facts. Or, for example, let us come down to the Nupur Sharma's case. I have not been speaking on merit nor coming on TV channels on that issue. But let me raise a few questions out there. The matter has gone to the court. FIRs have been registered. And when the matter goes to the court, court would ask certain questions. Whether she spoke the truth or not, whether she was sufficiently provoked or not, because it all started when a lot of blasphemous things were said about Mahadev and Shivling.
Please, you can provoke me, but that doesn't mean I can say whatever I want.
Please. And secondly, the manner in which it was said. These three questions would arise.
Sure. But Deshji, my question is basic to what you're saying. Firstly, two points. The moment you say that 95% of terrorists around the world are Muslims or from the Islamic faith, I don't know the statistics, even if they are correct. Aren't you doing exactly what we are saying you shouldn't be doing? You're typecasting an entire faith. There are billions of Muslims in this world. They are almost all peaceful people.
Then I should be condemning
United Nations. No, that 95% isn't 95% of the total Muslim faith.
Why make that statement, sir? Your intention is not to typecast an entire faith. It's such a wrong number, sir. Let me answer that, and very politely, and I have never insulted Islam in my life. These are statistics of if there are 100 terrorists and 95 are Muslims. I'm not saying so. United Nations.
I'm sure the number is correct, sir. But why say that? Because the moment we say that, that is what goes on in Twitter.
Then you are running away from facts.
No, I'm not running away from facts. I'm not. You are a wonderful Supreme Court lawyer. And I'm sure your statistics, if you're saying it, are correct. I'm just saying, in the context of a debate where there is so much hate online, the moment you as a respected person say that, then again it typecasts an entire community. Isn't that what we as Indians want to avoid?
My co-panelist lawyer clearly said that we as lawyers commit blasphemy every now and then and every time in the court. It is our duty to put out facts.
Okay. Ashutosh, would you like to respond? Would you like to respond to that?
Vishnu, my simple question to my dear friend, Mr. Deshratan Nigamji, was Nathuram Godse a terrorist or not? I think we should answer that question, yes or no.
He was a murderer and he got punished for that.
He was not a terrorist?
Even the courts did not call him a terrorist.
No. Was he a terrorist in your opinion or not?
No. I'll go by the court's verdict. Court never called him a terrorist. The courts called him a killer.
I think that the people who are watching this show, they got the answer where Mr. Deshratan Nigam's ideological commitment lies. See, Deshratan Nigam is ideologically committed to typecast Muslims as what he started with. Let's not get into that. The point number two, I think the case which Nupur's case is a classic case, how government in this country led by Bharatiya Janata Party, selectively using rule of law. She made certain statements which created embarrassment for the government of India, which created law and order and security problems for the Indians living in Middle East, which because of that, Indian products were removed from the certain cells in Middle East. A small country like Qatar had asked India, never happened in Indian diplomatic history, that government of India should apologize. Not only Qatar, but there are other countries also. Then, as an effect, in Kanpur, the riot and the violence did happen.
Yes.
It's a classic case where Nupur Sharma should have been arrested within 3-4 days itself.
Okay, this has not come respond to that.
Nothing has happened.
Yes,
mind
sir, I'm answering.
Nothing has happened. You know, there are several cases in the court of law. 1962 Balwant Singh case, 1996, 2005, 2006. Everywhere under the citizen law, there's a provocative statement is made and the provocative statement leads to the violence. That's a classic case.
Okay, but, all right. Yes, okay. Ashutosh, half a second. Let Deshji respond.
But Jignesh Mewadi will be arrested because he compared, he put Mr. Modi in the context of Godse. Today, I'm worried about Sadang Farasat. He might be in jail because he's comparing this government acting for the Godse in the country. So, okay. Sadang Farasat, you should be quite alert.
Deshratanji, respond to that. Go ahead. Yes, you have a right to respond to the points that Ashutosh has made directed at you.
Ashutosh tried his best to be a lawyer and he was very excited about it. We lawyers don't get excited even in court, nor in TV debates. So let me put it in perspective. Against Nupur Sharma, various FIRs have been registered, not only in Delhi, this probably the first one in Delhi, in Maharashtra and other places. It is the law and order of that particular state and they have to answer why, what steps they have taken, because within 24 hours you have to report to the court when an FIR is registered. The courts take over and then it happens within the guidance and supervision of the court. The police have to report to the courts. So, I think Ashutosh has got his answers, because when you are a half lawyer, your facts are not very clear. And let me also point out the facts that the provocations has been going on since the Gyanvapi issue had come up from all the sides. And
legally, Deshji, you mentioned this point and you've not given me an answer to this question.
Vishnu,
doesn't mean you have a right to then take off and say whatever you want.
That's why I am saying FIRs have been registered against all the people. Okay. Let the courts do their duty.
Okay, Ashutosh, quickly before I go back to Colin Gonzalez.
Vishnu,
yes.
Vishnu, I think what Mr. Deshraj Nigam is indicating is that if somebody murders and there is a provocation, then the murder is justified. And that's where Godse is still worshipped in this country by few because they believe it. Murder, Godse killed Gandhi because there was a provocation for them.
Okay, Colin Gonzalez,
Vishnu, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. Mr. Ashutosh is supporting mine. Provocation, every criminal will say that I was provocated. So Kanpur's violence cannot be justified because I was provocated because of what Nupur Sharma said. So every criminal will say that. So senior journalist, you are supporting me.
I'm saying only the cause and effect both are here, and that's why Nupur Sharma should be in jail, because not only the communal harmony is disturbed, but the violence also happened. So Nupur Sharma should
oversee
be directly responsible.
If the law permits the arrest, if it is less than 7 years, let me tell you, Ashutosh Ji. Just listen to me. You will appreciate. Just listen to me. The punishment out here is from 1 to 5 years. And if it is less than 7 years, Supreme Court says, please don't arrest. This is what the law is.
I tell you, Supreme Court has also filed the guidelines in 2014 on the Arnes Kumar versus Bihar government, where it is very clearly written that if the punishment is less than 7 years, then not only the IO, but also the court which is giving the bail, has to give in writing why they are doing it. So I know law little bit. Please.
So let that stage come.
No. Okay, all right. Both of you, one second. My other guest will get up and leave. I mean, it's a strong possibility. Smita is looking very bored suddenly. And I'm not even about to ask her a question. I'm going to go to Colin first. Mr. Gonzalez, I hold no brief for Sabah Naqvi. I tried to invite her to this program tonight. She didn't take my calls today. But I did notice that she had apologized when she had put out a meme and she took down her tweet. The tweet itself, the meme itself, was not her creation. If somebody apologizes, right? And says, I made a mistake. And that's what she said. And then the rest of what she said has been conciliatory even yesterday, what her tweets were. Why should we necessarily be taking action? I mean, where is the tolerance in this?
There's no question of taking action against Sabah Naqvi. Because Sabah Naqvi is and has been a person fighting against hate speech. So this balancing act thing is a peculiarity of the Delhi police and is totally unconstitutional. What needs to be done, and the earlier speaker said, you know, it's happening again and again and it's spreading. Hate speech spreads because the Delhi police will take no action against the persons doing hate speech. In the Delhi riots case till today, how many years have passed? And an FIR has not yet been registered against the person who said and started the riots by saying, Desh ke gaddaro ko gholi maro. And people started opening fire and shooting people, killing people.
Right.
Till today, after so many years.
Right.
Hate speech spreads for one reason and one reason alone, that the police do not have guts, they don't have the moral courage, they don't have the central government clearance to act against hate speech. Mm. They know that the central government favors people making hate speech, and that is the reason why it spreads through the country. And that has got to stop.
Right.
Situation of FIRs followed by arrest.
Right.
Must come in prominent person's case, at least.
You know, Smita,
so when you put a Neta behind bars, the
right.
country realizes, oh God, hate speech is serious. We can't do it.
I get that, Mr. Gonzalez. Last minute, Smita, to you. You know, the networks which promote this hate, where anchors allow this sort of stuff to be said, don't jump in and sort of, in a sense, endorse what is being said. You know, prominent captions which are deliberately phrased in a manner which promotes divide. You know, you and I are in the media. When does the sick behavior of some networks stop?
I don't want to blame any one
no,
network
I'm not naming
or two
one.
Networks. I think
everybody
is guilty across the board because... Yeah, okay, you're blaming two then maybe.
But the point is that there is a perversion in the media rhetoric. It's not just one or two.
It's there across the country,
right.
Vishnu.
Exactly.
It's, you're not even looking at regional media. Regional media is like a phenomenal amount of hate which is spewed on their channels. So, you know, look beyond just Delhi. Look beyond
Correct.
South Delhi, in
I
fact,
agree
I
with
should
you
100%. Say to you. Like, there is a perversion in political rhetoric. There is a perversion in complete rhetoric in this country. How is any debate allowed in this country now? Debate is settled through anger. Debate is settled through violence, whether it is verbal violence or whether it is physical violence. And why? Because, you know, you say something bizarre on television, whether it's a party spokesperson or whether it is an expert, you get talis, you go outside and you get a couple of retweets for the smart aleck comments that you've made on television, more followers probably, and that gets rewarded. People are going to Rajya Sabha because of smart aleck comments that they make on television. So, you know, obviously it's when they see that there is some kind of rewarding, this is permeated in every sphere. Unfortunately, this is the kind, whether it is WhatsApp hate, whether it is television hate, this has now come down to your parents, your children, everybody talking with very little tolerance levels.
Yeah.
They say bizarre things and it will continue like this. This FIR is not going to solve, it's going to complicate matters because the anger is so palpable right now. So you're going to say, achha, chalo, is pe FIR kar do. So you and I will not be able to speak anymore in debates, because who knows? Tomorrow, suppose you're doing a debate on Khalistan, Vishnu, and somebody says something about a guru, or somebody says something about Hindu versus Sikh in the 1984 riots. You will go to jail, you will get an FIR, I will get an FIR.
No, it's crazy. Shahzad, I apologize, I'm out of time. Completely apologize, I'll come back to you, and we'll discuss this on another occasion. But Smita, thank you so much for very lucidly making that point. Where is the freedom of speech in all of this? What can we say without getting into trouble, even if the intent is entirely innocent? Lots of comments on coup. Paranga writes in, says, why is there so much delay in action also? Why hasn't any arrest happened so far? Prasida says, all those who are culprits should be punished. Well, we're out of time on this program. From all of us here, goodbye.